I trust that the Lord has blessed your time here. And I know some of you are tired right now, and you're thinking, how long is he going to go? You know, what all is he going to say here this morning? And I do want to keep it brief, but I want to sort of move us forward from where we are to where perhaps you can head in your own pursuit of wisdom in the Lord. And so we'll talk about these things together. I'm going to read a few verses from Proverbs chapter 16. I want to pray before I read those verses, and then we'll just sort of talk about a few things related to Proverbs 16, but it'll really be a lot broader than just thinking about Proverbs 16. But let's pray now. I'll invite you to stand. Actually, go ahead and stand. I'll pray, and then we'll read. Lord, thanks for a good week, and we're thankful for your wisdom that you've given us. Lord, this is the last day of the year. We pray that we, as we look back on the year that's gone before us, that we would do so with gratitude, and that we'd look ahead with confidence, and that we would do so with a view toward living a life of wisdom in view of the wisdom you've given us in Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm going to read Proverbs 16, verses 1 through 3, and verse 9. Not bad. These are great verses, by the way, for what I just prayed about, the year to come. Proverbs 16, 1 through 3, and verse 9. The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Down to verse 9. The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. This is the word of God. You can go ahead and be seated. All right, it'll take me a few minutes to get back to Proverbs 16 because I want to talk about a few other things, and we'll get there to Proverbs 16 before too long. Let me go ahead and do a little bit of review here. I know you guys are a bit tired and all of that, but I want you to have fixed in your mind some really important things you can walk away with. So someone who hasn't answered the question yet gets the answer this morning. Does anybody of you have a definition of wisdom that comes to mind just sort of off the top of your head? Knowledge and skill of living well in God's created world. You got to be able to tell your parents that in the car on the way home, your pastor that on Sunday morning, you know, your younger brothers or sisters that. You know, this is what we've been talking about. This is the idea of wisdom as learning to live well in God's created world. We've emphasized that theme of creation. And really, we heard it twice from Solomon and twice from Baker on what that looks like in this world. So, if you think about the four talks that we've had, you could frame them as questions. The first talk would be the question, on the pursuit of wisdom, where do I begin? What's the answer? The pursuit of wisdom, where do I begin? You don't have an answer for that?
Fear of God.
Begin with the fear of God. If you want to live well in God's created world, you have to be anchored outside of this world, and you're anchored in the fear of God. We pursue wisdom on our knees. So the first question of the first talk could be, where do I begin? The second question could be, where are we going? Or where is God leading us? Does anyone have an answer for that one? Does anyone remember? Second talk, Proverbs chapter 3.
The tree of life.
Back to the tree of life. The tree of life is representative of the Garden of Eden. So we're headed toward the tree of life. We're going to experience the fullness and the blessing of God's created world as he intended this world to be. All right, and then we jumped over to Agur in Proverbs chapter 30, and we sort of asked this question. What do I do if I can't find it? What do I do if I can't find wisdom and the tree of life and all these wonderful blessings? And what do you think the answer would be that Agur would tell you based on his sort of personal testimony that he gives? This is Proverbs 30, 1 through 9. Where do you go if you can't find wisdom? You go to the word of the Lord, yes. And you take your weariness. I mean, he's the weary guy. He doesn't know the Holy One. You take your weariness. You take your questions to God. And you seek it out. All right. Now, yesterday's talk, we talked a lot about animals. Sort of a unique way Agur postures things for us. Once you've found the wisdom of God and you're dwelling in the garden, sort of what's your posture for life? What should our approach be in pursuing the things of this world and living before God? There could be a lot of answers to this, but go ahead.
Yeah,
And we fall in step in the army. Anyone else? That's a great answer. Yes, rock badgers, working in the cliffs, working and building their homes, and we're not all that significant in the world's eyes. But I had that phrase, rock badgers for Jesus, and hopefully some of you can at least remember that going home this week. We're all rock badgers for Jesus. We're all, you know, lizards, and we're ants, and we're sort of the unexpected, those who aren't prominent in the world's eyes, but we're following Jesus anyway. So that's what we've talked about. Now, some of you are probably recognizing talked actually about very little of the book of Proverbs. So we've, two of the 31 chapters. And so we've probably only talked very little, a very small portion of what could be known and treasured in terms of wisdom. So I just want to talk to you in the few minutes I have left this morning, sort of answering this question, where do you go from here? We've answered the question, where do I start? Where are we going? What do I do if I can't find it? And what's my posture in this world? Now the question is, well, where do I go from here? You know, what am I going to do when I get home today? And some of what I want to talk to you guys about is just how to treasure and love wisdom in the book of Proverbs. There was a question or two maybe about this in the Q&A time. Some of you were there for that. So maybe a little repeat here for those of you who were there. But how do I grow in loving wisdom? How do I sort of plumb the depths of the book of Proverbs and really enjoy its riches? And not just enjoy it in terms of being good at Bible study, but enjoy it in terms of living a wise life in God's created world. You probably are a little intimidated to hear I've got a six thoughts for you here, but some of you are tired, so just write down my six thoughts and they'll stay right wide awake, and I'll go quickly through them. But here are six thoughts on sort of how to access wisdom, particularly in the book of Proverbs. You want to go home and start reading Proverbs chapter 1 on January 1st. Keep these in mind. Number one, remember that this is God's story of wisdom. Remember that this is God's story of wisdom. A lot of this week has kind of been an exploration of our humanity, what it means to live in this world, and to sort of explore the psychology of someone like Hager. We talked about that triangle, the triangle of human desire, longing for life, and wealth, and sort of internal happiness, and those kind of things. A lot of Proverbs is going to be about you and how you are to be in this world and who you are and sort of how God is remaking you. But it always has to be at the foundation when you're reading Proverbs that this is God's announcement to us of his wisdom. God's the one that created this world in wisdom. He's recreating this world in wisdom. The paintbrush is there. The painting of God is there in Proverbs of creation. Paintings there of new creation, and this is God coming to us. And this is very important to remember. Some of that goes back to the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There are a lot of life tips that some people might find in Proverbs. A lot of Proverbs would speak well in business, corporate, corporate office, and that's fine, and there's good wisdom in there for real life. But the heart of Proverbs is God is on the move toward us, announcing himself as a wise God. So your consideration of wisdom and your consideration of Proverbs should center on a discovery of God, a discovery of who God is. And that'll get you right in the proper place. That's the whole idea of being anchored outside of this world. Okay, so that's number one. Remember that this is God's story. Number two, look for Jesus Christ. Look for Jesus Christ. Let me get a couple suggestions from you. Where can you see Jesus in the book of Proverbs? Where might you think? I've told you some of this already this week. But where would you look for in Proverbs to see Jesus Christ? He is the wise man. Yes, he is the wise man of the book of Proverbs. I have a comment or two on that, but anyone else in how to find Jesus in Proverbs? He only came to pay attention all the time. He is that king that came. And so those are really the two big ways that I would emphasize seeing Jesus. He is the king that came and fulfilled this. He is establishing the kingdom that's built on this. His kingdom and the church of Jesus Christ is built on these truths. And he is the wise man. Proverbs can be read as kind of a, here's a phrase, an ethical biography of Jesus Christ. an ethical biography of Jesus Christ. Here's the, you know, Psalms, maybe your pastor talks about Psalms, you know, this is reading the soul of Christ or the heart of Christ, the prayers of Jesus, you know, his longings on the cross. You've probably heard this kind of thing if you've been in an RP church a few times. And we're used to that. So when you sing the Psalms, you're singing sort of the heart of Jesus. Well, when you read Proverbs, you're reading the ways of Jesus. You're reading the lifestyle of Jesus Christ. The ethics that defined his life, the way he dealt with God and other people. And you're plumbing the depths of understanding the way that Jesus was in the world. So he is the wise man of Proverbs. All right, so remember it's God's story. Two, look for Jesus Christ. I was told I had 20 minutes and I've gone 11:29. So we're good here. Okay? So remember it's God's story. Two, look for Jesus. Three, this is sort of totally pivoting a bit. Look for the visual artistry of the book. I've emphasized that throughout the week. You know, we've got a lot of pictures, the tree of life, roosters, goats, lizards, badgers, all of this kind of thing. I said at the start, Proverbs, the word for proverb means something like artistic expression. And Proverbs has this visual world that it invites you into. Sometimes people struggle with Proverbs because they think it's kind of abstract. It's kind of out there. It's just sort of wisdom that sort of floats in the air. But look for it. If you read a chapter a day, you know, get a yellow highlighter or something, print it off your computer and, you know, highlight all the visuals, the pictures of where the way that life for you is pictured in visual categories. Here's some of the ones to look for. If I could have preached 30 sermons or whatever, you would have heard a sermon on probably all of these. There's refuge tower imagery. Refuge, tower, palace, you know, place to run super security. That's all over Proverbs. Path imagery is all over Proverbs. I probably underemphasized that this week. We're on a path and we're moving toward a great destination. There's land imagery. You're on a path moving toward the great and holy land. Land imagery. Marriage imagery is all over Proverbs. Lady Wisdom, Lady Folly. Which one are you going to marry? You should marry Lady Wisdom. Don't marry Lady Folly. And then that reflects in your own marriage and relationships and those kind of things. So woman imagery. Proverbs starts with a woman. Proverbs 1. Proverbs ends with a woman. Proverbs 31. They relate to each other. That sort of type of thing. Animals. We talked about animals. There's a lot of animals in Proverbs. Look for the animals. Lions is big toward the end. I think Proverbs 28. There's a lot of field imagery. You know, what's life like in the field? There's a lot of fruit and other food imagery in Proverbs. House imagery. You're supposed to go live in Wisdom's house. Wisdom has a house. She's already made it. She's got a feast. Get to go eat there. That's what's for dinner tonight. That's Proverbs 9. There's marketplace imagery, streets, chaos of the city streets, and you're in the city streets, and that's where you live. There's kingdom imagery, palace imagery. We've talked about that. I would love for someone to write an artistic novel on the life of the wise son using only images from the book of Proverbs. If one of you writes this, I will endorse it. Okay? If it's good. Okay? If it's good. So, go, you know, picture yourself, the world of Proverbs, you know, if you like Pilgrim's Progress, that kind of thing. Proverbs has a lot of that. And you're living in a world. And what is the world? There's a tree of life, and there's a path, and there's a garden, and there's a field, and there's a tower, and there are lions out there. And, you know, get excited about this stuff, because it makes the book come to life. Okay, reading the book of Proverbs. Read for what I'm going to call, isn't that very technical, theme chunks. Theme chunks. As you go through Proverbs, there are verses that chunk together, that are bundled together, that meditate on the same thing. Did anyone catch it? Proverbs 16, 1 through 3 and verse 9. What do they all seem to be talking about?
Letting God guide you and not losing your
own. Right. Is that what you were going to say? Yeah. Letting your plans and God's guidance. So, that's all over Proverbs 16. So it's not random. I can't always explain to you the order of the verses in Proverbs. Like, why does it go from the pride to the tongue to your money? I don't know all the answers on why it does that. But it obviously chunks things together. 7 verses on the tongue, 4 verses on planning, you know, five verses on the work, you know, diligence with your hands. So look for those and say, well, what seems to be the theme that moves across there? So if you were to read, say, Proverbs 16, here's what I'd encourage you to do. Read the whole chapter and then say, ah, I caught it. Four verses on planning. That's what I'm going to meditate on this morning. And when I do Proverbs 16 next year or next month, I'll do another theme. But don't feel like when you read a chapter of Proverbs that you've got to process the whole thing. Look for chunks of themes together and meditate on those. And that'll really help you. That's one of the best things to do in reading Proverbs. That's like my fifth point. So remember it's God's story. Look for Jesus Christ. Look for the visual imagery. Look for theme chunks. And if someone has a better, more technical, sort of theological sounding term for that, come tell me. Because I know theme chunks is not a big... That doesn't sound too sophisticated, does it? Number five, eat well and slowly as you feast on Proverbs. Eat well and slowly. I think on the Q&A night I said, you know, a great meal is not meant to be like two big spoons, like shoveling in your mouth, like, you know, as fast as you possibly can. You know, it's kind of disgusting, really. Proverbs is a lot. Proverbs over and over again. There's so much wisdom in here, and you know, it can overwhelm you, and I think it causes some people to give up because their eyes just kind of glaze over. Like 100 things there in Proverbs on the tongue, 100 things in this passage or whatever. That's not. It's all there. It's riches. You can explore it for the rest of your life. So come to Proverbs, and if it's just one or two verses that stick out to you, you know, you want to read the book of Proverbs in the month of January, 31 chapters, you'll be able to meditate well on like 5% of it, or 10% of it. And that's okay. Just like if you go to a buffet, I hope you're not eating more than about 10% of the food that the people put out. If you eat much more than that, you know, we're going to have problems. So eat well and slowly, but plan on eating this stuff for the rest of your life, you know. And you'll grow. So eat well and slowly. And then the sixth thing is joyfully put it into practice. This is an enjoyable thing, to live a life of wisdom. And that's some of what I've tried to emphasize this week with the creation imagery, the tree of life, the roosters, the rock badgers, the lizards. I mean, it should put a smile on your face. That's why we're singing Psalm 104 with all this imagery of creation and living in this world is... You ought to be looking forward to enjoying living a wise life in 2022. You know? And it's meant to be attractive. You know, a gentle tongue is a tree of life. Maybe your tongue is the most brittle thing out there. You know, it is so rough when it talks with people. And you don't know how to control that. Well, think about the tongue as a tree of life. And this is to be an enjoyable thing. If I could learn from the wisdom of Proverbs on the tongue to have a tongue that actually communicates the Garden of Eden to people, you know, that's the kind of thing. And enjoy the fruitfulness because it's an enjoyable life. It's an enjoyable life through suffering. There's a lot of suffering in Proverbs, but it is an enjoyable life to go put this into practice. And wisdom, you know, knowledge and skill to live well in God's created world. This better be going into practice. So hopefully for some of you, you've got applications already this week. Maybe the Agers talks maybe had more on the application side. If you're the seeker and the searcher, there's applications there for you. I think a lot of application from the talk on satisfaction, that type of thing. The animals talk, you know, where are you craving the world's goods and where is God calling you to be remade in a way of wisdom? So, remember it's God's story. Look for Jesus Christ. Look for the visual imagery. Read for theme chunks. Eat well and slowly. Put it into practice. Enjoy it, okay? Enjoyably put it into practice. My prayer is that you'll all love the book of Proverbs. I love the book of Proverbs. And my prayer is that you'll rejoice in it for the rest of your life. So, my clock here says 20 minutes right there. I was going to have you guys, it'd be good for you, as Jacob walks kind of tenderly and slowly up through, you're writing down, okay, what's an area of application for you for this week? What's one way you're going to enjoy wisdom more in 2022 in the days to come? So write that. I encourage you to write that, but with that.